Move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and that Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is the Senate chaplain, Reverend Phil Shaw from Rochester, Minnesota. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes. Just let me say a couple things before I lead in prayer. It's so nice to be here again. I appreciate it so much. But a few weeks ago, I sent a letter to all of you expressing my desire to make myself available to you. And I meant it with all my heart, Senators. And it's an honor and a privilege for me to be here to serve you. I'm grateful to Senator Senjum for asking me to take this position as Senate Chaplain. And I simply say again, if I can help you in any way, I'm more than happy to do so. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for each one of these senators who have dedicated their lives in service to the people of Minnesota. And I'm simply asking that you pour out your blessings on each senator and the work that they do, and that you bless their families and supply all their needs. Today, we're joining together to ask you to bring comfort to the Kubley family and soothe their grieving hearts, especially Pat. And finally, Lord, give each senator the clarity of mind to carry out their duties and the responsibilities that they have today. And God, thank you for hearing our prayer. Amen. God bless you.
The Pledge of Allegiance will be led today by Mr. Chuck Kruger of Byron, Minnesota. Mr. Kruger is the State Department Commander of the American Legion. He is an Air Force veteran of the Vietnam War era, serving from 1961 to 1965, and has been a member of the American Legion for 34 years. He has served as both post and district commanders and was also the membership director and judge advocate in District 1. He is also the chairman of the National American Legion Homeland Security Civic Preparedness Committee. Mr. Kruger, will you please lead the Minnesota Senate in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingerbritzen, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Cruz, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Siebenskoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Wieger, Wolf.
Quorum is present. To the second order of business, executive and official communications, please make note of the communication on page one of today's Senate agenda. Moving to the third order of business, the messages from the House. The Secretary will read the first message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned. Senate file 134, bill for an act relating to employment. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 1213, a bill for an act relating to education. Senate file 1213 is herewith returned to the Senate. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1213 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amendment. This passed both bodies unanimously.
Senator Nelson, explanation to that motion.
The House amended the bill and just put kind of what we would call a sunset term on the end of that bill, so that at the end of, I think it's 2021, the bill would expire.
And members, you are able to see those changes in the House Journal, February 8th, page 5466. And the last time we dealt with it on third reading in the Senate Journal, May 16th, 2011, page 2080, if you're interested in that. To Senator Nelson's motion to concur by the House to Senate File 1213, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. The Secretary will give Senate File 1213 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1213, a bill for an act relating to education, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1213. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Under third order of business, messages from the House, the Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 545, 1560, 1812, 1850, and 1903. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Moving to the fourth order of business, the first reading of House bills. They are printed on page 2 of today's Senate agenda. They will be referred as indicated. First reading. Moving to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be approved.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. There are several printed on page 5 of today's Senate agenda, second reading. Moving to the seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. They are also printed on page 5, second reading. Moving to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are two changes on the Senate bill introductions on page 3. Senate File 2227 will be referred to State Government and Innovations on page 8. Senate File 2274 will be referred to the Committee on Jobs and Economic Growth. They are referred as indicated. First reading. Moving on to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There are nine authors' motions printed on page 6 of today's Senate agenda. They will be taken as one motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Daley.
I move that Senate File 1741 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
And Senator Daley, that is your bill, and the both of the chairs have agreed? Senator Daley.
Madam President, that is my understanding, yes.
Thank you very much. On Senator Daley's motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Thompson.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 2281 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety and returned to its author.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Senjum.
Madam Chair, remaining under motions and resolutions, I move that the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of a whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
Madam President.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President and members, you have on your desk a list of seven bills that will be taken up this morning, time permitting, and we'll start with Senator Cruz.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File Number 1620 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 1620 is a law that amends Minnesota's eminent domain law as it relates to relocation assistance benefits. Essentially, what we have here is under current law, if a person entitled to relocation benefits does not accept the amount offered by the condemning authority, so whatever that local unit of government may be, the condemning authority must in turn initiate a contested case, and that would go to the Office of Administrative Hearings and go before an administrative law judge. The problem is under that, if that amount for those relocation benefits is zero, they do not have that same right. So in short, that's what this legislation does. It kind of closes up a bit of a loophole so that we make sure all of our folks are being taken care of. There's actually very few of these cases that happen throughout Minnesota. I think since 2003, there's only been five of these cases. But we believe that we should take condemnation and eminent domain very seriously. We want to make sure that they're offered that opportunity to dispute whether there should be those benefits. Just a little bit of history on this. We went back and we talked to nonpartisan staff in both the House and the Senate. The original legislation as it stands right now was drafted in 2006. After speaking to them, they said as they were going through that process, it was never intended that these folks be left out. So with that, I would like to thank the folks who brought this before me, a constituent of mine, Kurt Schnichter, and also John Morphew. And with that, I'll stand for any questions, Madam Chair.
The discussion on Senate File 1620. Seeing none, Senator Cruz renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1620 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Continuing on the list that was passed out, number four on the general orders calendar, Senate File 1212, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File Number 1212 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator Brown.
Madam Chair, Senate File 1212 is a bill for an act relating to health records, adding adult children of a deceased patient to the definition of patient. Members, this bill came about when a constituent contacted me. She's going through the same medical condition that her deceased father has, but her physicians are unable to take a look at his medical records. This bill would rectify that. It passed through two committees with no opposition. Members, I stand for questions.
Further discussion of Senate File 1212, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer the A1 amendment.
Senator Dibble has offered the amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Dibble moves to amend Senate File 1212 as follows. Page 2, line 6, after spouse, insert. This is the A1 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the A1 amendment some members might recognize, it was a part of a bill that was passed by the legislature and sent on to Governor Pawlenty a couple of years ago. It was known as the Final Wishes Bill. This is just one piece of that, and it's in keeping with the spirit of Senator Brown's proposal, and it simply allows the domestic partners of the deceased to also receive those records. Madam Chair and members, this is simply a provision to allow committed couples, family, to be treated with some measure of respect and dignity at a time in which life has taken a turn and families are needing to do what they need to do in times of very serious matters. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Discussion to the amendment.
Madam Chair, I would like to request a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. A roll call granted. Further discussion to the amendment. Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I would have appreciated having been able to talk about this ahead of time with the amendment's author, but at this point, I don't have opposition to this amendment.
Further discussion to the A1 amendment. Roll call has been requested. The Secretary will take the roll on the A1 amendment. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 29 ayes and 36 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1212. Seeing none, Senator Brown renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1212 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion is adopted. Continuing on the general orders calendar, the number 5, Senate File 1542, Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1542 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator Gazelka.
Madam Chair, members, this is a very simple bill. Once you reach 55 in Minnesota by law, you can take a defensive driving course that saves you 10% on your auto insurance. 3 years after that, you have to take a refresher course. Right now, if you forget to take that refresher course, the law is unclear about whether you have to take the lengthy first course or not. This bill clarifies that you will only have to take the refresher course after you've taken the first course once.
Further discussion to Senate File 1542. Seeing none, Senator Gazelka renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1542 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on, number 6 on general order, Senate File number 1739, Senator Cruz.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1739 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate File 1739 has an act to do with real estate agents, real estate professionals, and their ability to manage their own properties. Currently, under Minnesota statutes, when a licensed real estate agent is managing their own properties, they're supposed to consult with their broker. This puts them at kind of a different standard than their neighbor who may not be a licensed broker. So what we're attempting to do in this legislation is just add some clarity to that and make sure that we're treating our licensed real estate agents just as we would any other Minnesotan and let them manage their own personal properties.
Further discussion on Senate File 1739. Seeing none, Senator Cruz renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1739 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to number 8 on the general orders calendar, House File number 300, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate House File number 300 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator Hahn.
Members, this is a bill that is very simple in concept. It did get some treatment last year in the other body, did not receive any action in the Senate. It has to do with the notification that we provide to parents when their children are going to be screened for vision before entering school. And very simply, the bill changes the text of the notice. Currently, we provide a notice to parents and alerting them to the fact that their children are going to be screened for vision, among other things. And the bill would change the notice that parents received to simply say that early childhood development screening includes a vision screening that helps detect potential eye problems but is not a substitute for a comprehensive eye exam. And that's all it does. There is also a change in the date that it is effective. The date is effective immediately or the day following enactment, but it does allow school districts who have brochures or other material already printed that don't have this exact wording, they can continue to use it so that this new wording would apply only to a subsequent printing of the notice. So there is no additional cost to school districts to have this language be a part of the notice that they would provide to parents. Very simple. There is no opposition to this bill that we're aware of. The school districts did have some problems with the previous version, which was much more prescriptive, but I think the fact that the bill does allow the school districts to use their current supplies resolves that problem. So I would encourage your support for this bill and be ready to answer any questions.
Further discussion of House File 300. Seeing none, Senator Hahn renews his motion that when this committee do arise, House File 300 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on, number 9 on the general orders calendar, Senate File 1528, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1528 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 1528 is an act relating to education, providing 21st century tools for teachers, encouraging students to take one online course, and requiring a report. This bill passed the Education Committee on a voice vote. It also passed the Finance Committee recommended to pass. The bill does basically five things. One, it requires that the Online Learning Advisory Council review our education standards to identify any that inhibit or encourage online education and digital education. We have seen how digital resources have transformed so many areas of our lives, and we want to make sure that our schools are able to keep up. Secondly, expands the use of current basic skills revenue to include digital learning for addressing the needs of learners who are struggling to meet academic standards. Third, it encourages all students to take at least one online learning course before high school graduation. And fourth, it requires the Online Learning Advisory Council, with support from the Department of Education, to create a catalog of those publicly available digital resources that have already been aligned with our Minnesota standards. That catalog would be available for teachers, so when they're teaching to a particular standard, they can click and see the digital resources aligned to that standard. The catalog will also include continual feedback for teachers and students to rate the digital resource, and it will eventually include student performance as well. And that brings us to the fifth point, which is addressing the study and report by the Office of the Legislative Auditor on online learning that asks that we include student performance data to show the effectiveness of the resources. I stand for any questions.
Further discussion to Senate File 1528. Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Chairperson. Just a couple of things that I'd like to mention. One, I believe there was a fiscal note with this in committee. And what was the fiscal note? There isn't, I believe on the bill that you have, there isn't any fiscal cost. But I do remember that there was a fiscal note, I think, in the committee. And then I have another question after.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Stump, thank you for bringing that to my attention. There was a fiscal note in the Education Committee. The Education Committee felt that this was something that the department could take on. In fact, they're just providing support to the Online Learning Advisory Council. We had further discussion on this in the Finance Committee, and as you might recall, those of you who were on that committee, the department is already bringing online. In fact, the day it was in Finance, they were actually posting the spot for an online learning responsibilities for a new employee. So what we did in the Finance Committee was we amended the bill to push the date of the study back a few months, allowing that new person to get on board as the department is already hiring and work through any backlog that they might have.
Senator Stump.
Madam President, Senator Nelson, you're saying that the department was okay with the cost of the fiscal note?
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The department was at our Finance Committee, and I can't remember exactly what they said. I might ask Finance Chair Roebling. I think the point was they were already hiring someone to take on online learning and digital learning. And my recollection is that once we added that amendment to give them additional time, they were okay with that. But I honestly can't recall any opposition at Finance. Senator Roebling might have something to add to that.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We did move the date back for when this would take effect in order to give them more time. It was a matter of whether this new staff person would be able to handle additional responsibilities to coordinate this committee. And we felt that by pushing it back somewhat that they would have that availability and that person would be able to take on that responsibility without adding additional staff.
Senator Stumpf.
Madam President, the other question I had relates to Section 3. And the understanding of what we do here generally associates with statutes. And I remember a number of years ago, Senator Merriam, who was kind of the guru on rules and around the Senate, used to always, when we had a piece of legislation that didn't do anything, he would always point it out and say, well, let's just take this out. I mean, what good does this do? And so I'm wondering, how do we explain Section 3 and its impact on the overall a goal that you're after?
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Stump. Well, I think, are you referring to the fact that the words on 3.16 are strongly encouraged as opposed to mandated? I assume that's the intent of your question.
Madam President, Senator Nelson, that's correct.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that we should not be mandating new things upon our school boards. However, it is our job, and we can strongly suggest, and what we are doing in this bill is providing the resources and the tools so that our school districts will more be able to provide high-quality digital experiences and online experiences for our students. So this is a gentle nudge for school districts to do what they've already, many of them are already doing and are in the process of doing. What it simply does not do is add a mandate. I will tell you the House bill does, and I will not be supporting a mandate coming out of conference committee, should this body decide to pass the bill.
Senator Stumpf.
Well, Madam President, I guess there's a couple of bills that relate to education. Senator Hand had a bill just a couple minutes ago that we all voted for, and it says the notice must state, and then goes ahead and states the directive. Now I know strongly encourage is something that we'd like to see, but it really doesn't, like I say, doesn't achieve much. You know, I don't know if the schools will look at this and say, well, this is something that we basically don't have to do.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. School districts in my Senate district look very hard at what the legislature strongly encourages or what it is positioning to do. And many of them are already providing these opportunities. We are providing a carrot in terms of specifying that funding can be used for this within the school districts. We are not mandating. I see no harm in strongly encouraging. And as a believer in local control, I think that is the way to go.
Further discussion on Senate File 1528. Seeing none, Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I share Senator Stumpf's concern, and I think it is worth some further discussion on the Senate floor. I think for us to actually pass a law that tells districts that they're strongly encouraged is a mistake, and even if we do strongly encourage our school districts, I don't think that makes for a law. And so I think we ought to think about where we stand with regard to putting things in statute. And so while I support and appreciate what Senator Nelson's trying to accomplish, and actually I think we should do a great deal of work making sure that all school districts have equal access to technology and technology tools, I don't think we ought to put that in session law. So I would move to amend the bill and delete Section 3, I believe.
Secretary,
and I'm sorry, that's a verbal amendment, but
or Secretary will report the amendment.
Bonhoff moves to amend Senate File 1528 as follows: page 3, line 3.15, delete Section 3.
To the amendment, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in opposition to this amendment. We do much encouraging in the legislature. We are leaders in education. We should set these examples forward, and we should strongly encourage. And at some point, maybe we will mandate. But quite frankly, I prefer much more the approach of giving schools the tools that they need, encouraging them along that path. And I think what we'll see is more and more schools are offering these online courses. In fact, the OLA reported as much. So I think it is very needless and not necessary to delete Section 3. In fact, I think it weakens online learning, and this is such an important part of our society, this growing digital part of our society. I would not want to be on record as accepting that amendment, so I encourage a red vote on Senator Bonhoff's delete amendment.
Further discussion to the oral amendment? Seeing none, I think it would be helpful if maybe if the secretary reread the amendment just so we all know before we take the vote. I'm sorry. I caught you off guard.
Bonhoff moves to amend Senate File 1528 as follows. Page 3, lines 3.15, delete Section 3.
All in favor of the Bonhoff amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division has been called for. Those I'm sorry, we jumped the gun and I forgot to announce you caught me so quickly. I think maybe I hadn't been prepared. It does not prevail, but their division has been called for. And those, all those in favor, please stand at your desk. Please be seated. Those voting no, please stand. The amendment does not prevail and is not adopted. Senator Higgins.
Madam President, if we're only going to encourage schools now, I have an other oral amendment on lines 3.19, 3.21, 3.23, 3.25, and 3.27. Delete the word shall and insert is strongly encouraged to.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Higgins moves to amend Senate File 1528 as follows. Line 3.19, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged. Two, is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.21, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.23, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.25, delete the word shall, insert the words is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.27, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to. Correct?
Discussion to the amendment. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in opposition to this amendment. While I know that there are some who think that we shouldn't mandate at all, I do believe there are times when we do. And in this case, what we are giving is we are giving teachers tools. We are giving teachers tools to provide digital and online education to supplement their instruction. I think that's a good thing. I encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, as this amendment highlights, we seem to be taking a new course on not mandating unless we want to mandate. And you kind of can't have it both ways. And the amendment shows the folly of this discussion.
Further discussion, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think there may be an important point of distinction that the body needs to know. We are not mandating anything on our public schools, which is why Section 3 says strongly encourage. And yes, it is true, we are mandating that the Minnesota Department of Education support the online learning advisory as they prepare these tools for teachers. So there's a difference between mandating things to your school board, which is what we are not doing in this bill, and mandating the Minnesota Department of Education to do this cataloging of online learning resources. And that is the role of the legislature.
Further discussions. The Secretary will repeat the amendment just so that we all understand. It's a long amendment.
Senator Higgins moves to amend Senate File 1528 as follows. Line 3.19, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.21, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.23, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.25, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to. Line 3.27, delete the word shall, insert is strongly encouraged to.
All in favor? Senator Nelson.
Yes. Madam Chair, I think the body may have lost part of that amendment. Could Senator Higgins get that in writing for us, please?
Senator Nelson has requested the amendment be made in writing. And Senator Nelson, it is in writing now. It is the A51 amendment. Senator Higgins, would you like to just make that correction and offer the A51 amendment?
Madam Chair, or excuse me, Madam President, I'll move the A51 amendment.
Thank you, Senator Higgins. It is.
Madam President.
Senator Higgins moves to amend Senate File 1528 as follows, page 3, line 19. Is strongly encouraged to. This is the A51 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Olson.
I would just like to request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Further discussion to the A51 amendment. Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A51 amendment. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 28 ayes and 37 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1528. Seeing none, Senator Nelson renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1528 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to number 32 on the general orders calendar, Senate File 1910, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File number 1910 be recommended to pass.
To that motion, Senator Gerlach.
Yes. Madam Chair. This is Senate File 1910, and it deals, it's just simply the annual technical bill for MCHA, which is the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association. It is it's a private nonprofit entity that handles our citizens, that it's the pool of last resort, those who cannot get insurance in the private marketplace primarily due to pre-existing conditions can find some coverage here in the MCHA pool. This is their annual bill that deals with some technical updates, and we heard it in committee. There was no opposition, and I'll tell you what the three things this bill accomplishes. It modifies the mechanism or the process for setting MCHA's premium rates, provides a more accurate and cost-effective process. The bill does not change the statutorily mandated range within which MCHA's rates must be set, which is 101 to 125% of the weighted average of similar individual policies. The bill does not change the Department of Commerce's ultimate authority to approve, modify, or deny MCHA's premium rates. The second item this bill accomplishes is it changes the effective date of MCHA's premiums from July 1st, which is the present, to January 1st of 2014, which aligns MCHA with the market. And third, it permits, does not mandate, that MCHA cease offering $500 and $1,000 deductible plans in 2013, which aligns MCHA products with those offered in the individual market. Members, I'd appreciate your support on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion of Senate File 1910, Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Gerlach. I rise
more in confusion than anything else. I work very, very hard on our Health and Human Services Committee, and this is a bill affecting, you know, those who, as Senator Gerlach mentioned, can't get health insurance in our state, but through MCHA. I don't know that this is a bad bill or that this is a good bill. I do know that it has not been heard in Health and Human Services, and it regards changing the method of calculating premiums, and it permits MCHA to stop offering its two health plans with the lowest annual deductibles to these people. And I just really do think that I might be completely good with the bill, but it should be run through the Health and Human Services Committee. It is definitely a matter of some importance to people who have trouble getting insurance. So with that, I move that Senate File 1910, number 32 on the general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Health and Human Services, and I would request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Discussion to the Lori motion. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Lori and members. I'll tell you a couple of points. First of all, this bill is a pure insurance-related bill. This is entirely within the jurisdiction of the Commerce Committee, and it's a lot of times when we have bills that deal with the how it overlaps different issues with the Health and Human Services Committee, then those bills sometimes will go to the Health Committee, and they'll handle those parts that deal with their jurisdiction, and the Committee on Commerce will deal with the portions that deal with MCHA. In this particular case, this is peer insurance. The chairman of the Health and Human Services Committee has not requested to see this bill. And additionally, the reason we're hearing this here today is because the MCHA folks have asked that this be expedited because there are under some a requirement to do some notifications to certain or to people that they cover, and that there are other rules they have to comply with that are under the gun with the time limit. So they asked that I bring this bill up as soon as possible. And again, there was no opposition at all in the committee. And again, these are just some simply technical changes. And the chairman did not request to see it in the Health Committee.
Senator Lori.
To Senator Gerlach's points, thank you, Madam Chair. I don't dispute the Commerce Committee's jurisdiction over this matter. I think it's entirely appropriate that this bill go before Commerce, and I would even concede the point that they might have the prime jurisdictional issue. The fact of the matter is, this is about health insurance for those who are unable to get health insurance on our regular market. It is what our MCHA program is, and the Health Committee has a long history and tradition of making sure that we monitor the health insurance market for those in Minnesota that struggle in terms of getting insurance. So, I really urge members to support me in sending this to the Health Committee and just having a full hearing. And this is about process. This is not about whether this bill is good or not. Those of us on the Health Committee understand very well what people struggling to get health insurance go through, and we need to do our due diligence to take a look at this bill. I think that that all members should have a vote, and to the point about there being a hurry to get done with this, that's fine. I think that we can set aside some time rather quickly. I do not mean to be adding undue delay to this bill, but I do think that it would be a dereliction of our duty not to hear this bill in Health and Human Services and understand its ramifications to people in Minnesota. Urge a yes vote.
Further discussion on the motion, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, very briefly, I'm looking at the committee jurisdictions handout here that was provided at the very beginning of session. And it lists here on the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection, chapter and statute 62F.02, I'm sorry, 62E.10, Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association. It's not listed under the Health Committee jurisdiction.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. I agree with Senator Gerlach. I don't believe that the MCHA bills have ever been referred to the Health Committee in the past. Certainly, this bill, as it traveled through its path in the other body, only went through the Commerce, the comparable committees on Commerce. I believe that this is certainly within their jurisdiction. I think it's possible one can make an argument that anything that could have anything to do with health care could be seen in our committee, but I don't believe it is necessary to see it there.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just responding to a statement that Senator Hand just made, which is absolutely not the case. I've carried bills that affected MCHA, MCHA premiums, and MCHA requirements, and they absolutely have been referred to the Health and Human Services Committee. Matter of fact, in the previous chair, just tried to get an MCHA bill through without stopping off at her committee.
Further discussion on the motion to refer. Seeing none, Senator Lurie renews his motion that Senate File 1910 be stricken from general orders and re-referred to the Health and Human Services Committee. A roll call has been requested. The Secretary will take the roll. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 24 ayes and 41 nays, the motion does not prevail. Further discussion on Senate File 1910. Seeing none, Senator Gerlach renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1910 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. I'm in a hurry today, I guess. Senator Senjum, remaining under motions and resolutions. Senator Senjum.
Madam Chair, I move the committee to now arise and report.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
I move the report of the committee of the whole be kept by the secretary, be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Now we'll move on to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, Thursday is the Rochester on Tour Day. Leading innovation will be at the Capitol for you. You will see a number of Rochester legislators. I personally want to invite you to the 5 p.m. reception. There will be coaches out front to take you back and forth to the reception. Rochester is the fastest growing city in the state. A lot of innovation, and that's what the reception is designed around. You'll see some of the innovative things that this city is doing, and you will also get to taste some of the best food from Rochester and great music as well. So I hope to see you Thursday, 5 o'clock at the reception, and we'll have transportation for you out front.
Further announcements, Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a quick announcement. The Committee on State Government Innovations and Veterans will start promptly at 1:20.
Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Local government and elections will be meeting in 1:12 at about approximately 1:30. Thank you.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Health and Human Services Committee scheduled to meet at 1 o'clock. We will also meet at 1:30 in room 15 to allow members a chance to get lunch.
Senator Senjum.
Madam Chair and members, this past weekend we lost a dear friend and colleague, Senator Gary Kubley, and in honor of his service to this state and in recollection of the great friendship that all of us had with Gary Kubley, I would like to ask that we all stand and remember and reflect on one great senator, Senator Gary Kubley.
Please rise for a moment of silence. Thank you, members. Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to say that Senator Kubley was my friend. In 2002, after serving 6 years in the House together, we came over to the Senate together, much like many House members, I suspect, will do this year, once all the field of candidates are set. But I just would like to say Senator Kubley cared deeply about his constituents and all the citizens of this state. He was a man who worked with a quiet demeanor to accomplish the goals and address the concerns he believed needed to be corrected. Should someone ask what kind of man he was, I would simply say that whether you are a farmer, a college student, a teacher, or a nurse. In fact, if you are any Minnesotan who wants state government to make your life better, that I would simply say, you too have lost a friend on Friday night.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, members, I first met Gary in his role as a Lutheran pastor. And I think his pastoral approach to life is something that's much needed in politics, and he served us well in that role. Gary was the type of person, I think, if we asked the public what they want in a senator, the traits they would use to describe that person fit Gary to a T. Public would want a senator who's thoughtful, somebody who listens well, and then makes up their mind and still respectful of people who disagree and has the courage to tell them he disagreed. I think the public would want somebody who's smart and thoughtful, someone who's self-deprecating, good sense of humor. The ideal senator in their mind would be somebody who can remain calm in the heat of debate and able to build trust with others in our highly charged environment. I think the public would say they want somebody who's kind and compassionate and caring, especially for those who are hurting. All of those characteristics, they describe Gary Kubley and, frankly, his wife Pat, because they were a team. They describe them to a T. I think all of us lost a good friend. All of Minnesota lost a good public servant. Gary, we're going to miss you.
Senator Senjum, I do have a couple of excuses that I need to. Without objection, the following members will be excused. Senator Sparks all day and Senator Hayden from noon to 12:20. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, I simply want to conclude with a couple of words. Senator Gary Kubley, a man full of class, full of honesty, full of honor, full of integrity, full of good humor, which we'll never forget. Truly a friend of us all and truly a great public servant for the state of Minnesota. And in honor of Senator Kubley, we will be suspending all Senate activities on Wednesday. There will be a bus that will leave from the front of the Capitol, perhaps around 7:30, but that will depend on weather and things like that. You're asked to get your intentions known on riding that bus, if you will, to the sergeant's office so that we can get a head count. Again, we'll probably arrive out there around 10:30. The funeral's at 11. There'll certainly more than likely be a gathering after the funeral, and we'll return, I suspect, around 5 or a little after. So please try to attend, honor a great man, a great senator, a person we will all never forget. Madam President, members, the business of the day now being concluded, I would move that we adjourn until Thursday, March 8th at 11 a.m.
Senator St. Jim has moved we adjourn until Thursday, March 8th at 11 a.m. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.